Hello, friends. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, for One Place, Many Voices, Pinellas County. Well, we're going to expand the entire purview of the America 250 year. July 4th is behind us, but it is still America 250. We're going to talk about the iconic brands of the past 250 years. So American businesses haven't just sold products. They've sparked movements, built industries, and reshaped how we live, work, and connect. And across generations, these brands have become cultural touchstones. Think of Coca-Cola and the polar bear. And think of McDonald's and, well, let's not think of the clown, but it's true. These things are etched like a meme in our brains, like a little earwigs song. So some of those brands were chosen by the USA Today Network, and they were covered so interestingly. And I'm going to share some of them that I think, in my mind, really define America, and that's Hershey's. Who hasn't been to Hershey's Chocolate Park? And I'm not talking about Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory. So Hershey was established in 1894. And whether it's Valentine's Day or Halloween or Easter, America always turns to it to satisfy their chocolate cravings. And what would a s'more be without a Hershey's, right? So it's really very iconic. The origin dates back to 1894 when Milton Hershey incorporated his Lancaster Caramel Company and made the Hershey Chocolate Company a subsidiary. In 1900, they sold off the caramel business. Well, that was probably good for our teeth. And launched Hershey's Milk Chocolate Bars, aimed to make a luxury treat affordable for the masses. And who doesn't love Hershey's Kisses ringing like a doorbell during the holidays or during Valentine's Day? So during the 30s and 40s, Hershey expanded from just candy to create the sweetest place on earth. And I remember going with my parents in the 60s, and they built an amusement park theater and hotel. And the smell of chocolate, if I could have perfume that smelled like chocolate today, I'd want it to smell like Hershey's. Today's attractions now have a water park and wildlife park and draws visitors from all over the world. So, folks, I just think that when you think about America and Hershey's, and you think about the GIs in the 40s bringing candy bars and Hershey candy bars, they were ambassadors of goodwill. So I think that that is one that really speaks to me. There are other companies like Netflix and FedEx that are mentioned, but I want to talk about the Kellogg Company because, again, Jerry Seinfeld did such a funny movie about cereal and Pop-Tarts and things, but it sort of took us back to W.K. Kellogg Company in 1906. All of Kellogg's cereals, Frosted Flakes, Special K, Fruit Loops, Raisin Bran, and Honey Smacks, they all carry the brand's familiar red-white logo on the front of the box. And that might not have happened if W.K. Kellogg in 1894 never created, yes, you got it, cornflakes. Punch them down. Roll your chicken in them, and it makes great fried chicken. The introduction of sugar, so a little more than a decade after creating cornflakes, Kellogg opened the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company, which would go on to introduce Bran Flakes and Rice Krispies, get this, in 1928. The introduction of sugar frosted flakes probably has one of the most iconic guys representing it, a memorable mascot, Tony the Tiger. Remember, this is before superheroes, and it's great. If you don't think that people who don't even speak English say this when they see Tony the Tiger, you're sadly mistaken. So, you know, Kellogg's products are very iconic. And of course, Pop-Tarts and Pringles were expanded. And of course, the Pop-Tart movie with Jerry Seinfeld is a must watch. Another incredible, iconic business that really speaks to our culture, Walt Disney, an international icons from Moana to Snow White, to Cinderella, and Frozen. The images that you think about and the people that come from all over the world to be at the Disney theme parks is amazing. It was started in 1923, and as one of the world's largest companies, Disney has a hand in nearly every part of entertainment. But, you know, it's come a long way since Walt Disney and his brother Roy founded a cartoon studio in 1923. Tim our producer, had a gentleman in studio on Saturday. Who was it? The musician who actually played banjo and had met Walt. John McEwen. John McEwen is friends with Steve Martin, played banjo. Tim is, of course, our producer on this podcast series. And lo and behold, had met Walt Disney. Unbelievable. Met Walt Disney. And, you know, Steamboat Willie, well, if you don't know who Mickey Mouse was, Steamboat Willie was the earlier incarnation. From Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs to Mary Poppins and the Lion King to Frozen and everything else. The Mickey Mouse Club, Annette Funicello, going on to Beach Bank and Bingo. It is a family of images and icons that still touches the world today. Let's talk about McDonald's. Although I am not a huge fast food fan, McDonald's, I remember my mother saying, I remember when the first one went up and they had only sold 100,000 burgers. And, you know, it was founded in 1940 as a drive-in restaurant with car hops as waitresses. And it's 1948 reinvention as a walk-up self-service restaurant selling 15-cent hamburgers turned McDonald's into a fast food icon. So if you remember Popeye and Wimpy Burgers, I swear that they must have gotten this from them. The emphasis was on fast, cheap food, and founding brothers Richard and Maurice McDonald already had established several franchises with milkshake mixer salesman Ray Kroc, who eventually bought the Padres in San Diego, was introduced to McDonald's and decided to open a franchise. And, you know, they're known for their Golden Arches and their Big Macs, but they also brought incredible words into our world, like supersize me, which is what I always say when I want more money from my bosses. So McDonald's also, besides being an icon and the clown, Ronald McDonald, the mascot, thankfully has been retired. He's a little frightening. I never liked clowns. But I want to talk about what they've done. They've done an incredible philanthropic thing all over our country. But the Ronald McDonald House started in Philadelphia. The houses offer free lodging and meals to families of children undergoing treatment at nearby hospitals. And McDonald's continues to support Ronald McDonald Houses throughout donations and fundraising events. At Thrive DTSB, the Ronald McDonald House has their offices near our studio. So we have a fond place in our heart. And I think that it's incredible that that has happened. So, you know, folks, Burger King, of course, had its king. Harley Davidson, I think, is another really, really, really iconic. Maybe I'm just a motorcycle maven, but I really love Harley Davidson. I think that when you think that it was started in 1903, they were making motorcycle parts and everything else. But quite honestly, the company really faced challenges over the past decade selling its motorcycles to younger customers as baby boomers age out of riding. And so now they have electric motorcycles. But think about Easy Rider. Think about all the iconic films that you see Harley Davidson's. Think about all the times that you see Sturgis and the incredible attraction. There's something about Harley Davidson and the brand that is iconically American. And so because Radio St. Pete is where local music lives, I would be much amiss if I didn't mention something else that USA Today shined a light on, and that is Motown Records, 1959. And with the passing of Clive Davies, I think that Motown is really, you know, it's these music moguls who really love music and built iconic record companies and also artists. Motown was incredible. Founded in 1959, it was instrumental in integrating Black artists into the mainstream of American pop music in the 60s and beyond. Barry Gordy Jr., a former boxer, jazz record store owner, and assembly line worker, launched Tamla Records in early 1959 and soon added the Motown brand, a name derived from Detroit's Motor City moniker. He bought a space on Grand Boulevard that would become Motown headquarters, Hitsville, USA, and the company incorporated in 1960. Motown helped usher in the new musical genre of soul, blending elements of Black blues and white pop with a rock and roll beat and gospel flourishes. And locally, our friend Siobhan, she is a shining example of how Motown has influenced a new generation. So at the turn of the 60s, the rhythm and blues genre remained deeply segregated. Gordy pointedly marketed Motown as the sound of young America rather than Black America. And in fact, I do believe that when you listen to music and Motown, and chased by droves of Black and white listeners, making superstars out of Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, The Supremes, Four Tops, and Martha Reeves, and then famously in Beehive, being a place where Black and white people of all places came together to enjoy the Motown music and dance. So if you don't think that these iconic brands are more than a businesses, think again. I want to thank USA Today Weekend for this incredible story. And for One Place, Many Voices, Pinellas County, I want to thank you for letting your host, Nanette Weiser, moi, expand on this to across America.